have to start the morning. Proverbs 5, verse 7. So now, my sons, listen to me. Never stray from what I'm about to say. Stay away from her. Don't go near the door of her house. If you do, you will lose your honor and will lose to merciless people all you have achieved. Strangers will consume your wealth, and someone else will enjoy the fruit of your labor. In the end, you will groan in anguish when disease consumes your body. You will say, how I hated discipline. If only I had not ignored all the warnings. Well, why didn't I listen to my teachers? Why didn't I pay attention to my instructors? I've come to the brink of utter ruin, and now I must face public disgrace. Just meditate on that for a moment. Think about those words. First Corinthians 2, verse 12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Let's pray. Jesus, I just pray right now in your name. We know you're here among us. We know your word is living and active. And I pray that you would give us eyes and ears and a heart to see and discern what you want to speak to us. That we'd be able to discern the spirit of the world from your Holy Spirit. We feel the fire entering in right now. The fire and the heat of your Holy Spirit that pierces our hearts, that separates bone and marrow, that separates spirit and soul. Your word, we just ask that it would pierce us, that it would change us, that it would transform us, that we would listen to your spirit and not the spirit of the world. Father, I just ask that we would get fresh revelation from you today about your word and about your spirit, that you would just reveal truth to us about who you are, what you desire from us and for us. You're a good teacher. We just ask that you would teach this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. That 1 Corinthians passage, there is a spirit of the world, and then there is a spirit that is from God, the Holy Spirit. In Proverbs 5, go back there again. Proverbs 5, verse 7. So now, my sons, listen to me. Never stray from what I am about to say. Stay away from her. Don't go near the door of her house. If you do, you will lose honor and will lose to merciless people all you have achieved. Strangers will consume your wealth, and someone else will enjoy the fruit of your labor. In the end, you will groan in anguish when disease consumes your body. You will say, how I hated discipline. If only I had not ignored all the warnings. At a certain point, the Holy Spirit will give you a warning. He'll give you a red flag. He'll give you a check. He'll give you something and say, whoa, don't go near here. You're straying a little bit off course. Don't keep following this path, because this isn't my path. This is another spirit. There's a spirit of the world. The world has a spirit. The spirits in this world that are not of the Holy Spirit, they don't come from God. And they want and desire to lead you astray, to lead you down their path. And so the Holy Spirit, what does he do? He will give you a check. Sometimes, what's he say? Verse 12, you will say how I hated discipline. Sometimes we are being disciplined and we just excuse it away and we say, well, we live in a broken world. We live in a fallen world. Bad things just happen. Sometimes you need to go to the Lord and you just need to ask, Holy Spirit, is this from you? Are you trying to teach me something? Did I step out of alignment with your word? And is this a result of my disobedience? When I have to discipline one of my children, they don't just say, oh, that was kind of random. I don't know why he did that. Like they know. I talk to them. I speak to them. I say, this is why you have to go to timeout. This is why you don't get to eat dessert while everyone else gets to eat dessert. We have to explain it to them. We teach them because we love them. The Father is no different. Sometimes we step out of line with his word and we step into disobedience and then something happens and we just excuse it away and we say, well, we just live in a fallen world. Bad things just happen. No. If we would just go back to him and listen and just ask, Holy Spirit, is this from you? He'll teach us. He'll show us. We need to have those tough conversations and not just excuse everything away with, well, Adam and Eve sinned, so bad things just happen. No. Listen to his voice because he's a good father and he wants to teach you. Sometimes we think that we're better parents, we're better fathers and mothers than the Holy Father. Because we don't believe that he would actually teach us and correct us and discipline us. But what does a good father and a good mother do? They teach, they correct, they discipline. They help change the course of the child because they know the course that the child is heading down. And they know it leads to destruction. It leads to ruin. That's what Solomon tells us here. In the end, you will groan in anguish when disease consumes your body. You will say, how I hated discipline. If only I had not ignored all the warnings. Oh, why didn't I listen to my teachers? Why didn't I pay attention to my instructors? We now have the greatest teacher living inside of us. If you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, guess what? He's a teacher and he wants to teach you. That's what Jesus told us. It's better that I leave so he can come. I have come to the brink of utter ruin, and now I must face public disgrace. If you want my notes today, you can text REVNOTES to 94,000. You can see everything I've got, except that little beginning part right there. That was not what I had. But sometimes in worship, he just lays something on you. Deuteronomy chapter 8 today. Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8, verse 1. Be careful to obey all the commands I am giving you today. Then you will live and multiply, and you will enter and occupy. If you want to multiply and occupy the land, if you want to multiply and occupy, walk in obedience. Just ask the Lord. If you're like struggling in these areas and you feel like, man, it feels like my life is just stuck. It feels like things are not moving forward. Ask the Lord for a simple step of obedience today. I know for me, he's given me one today because I felt like I'd just gotten a little bit out of alignment. And I was like, God, what do you want me to do? Just tell me, because I don't want to follow the spirit of the world. I want to follow your Holy Spirit. And he gave me a simple step of obedience to walk in holiness. And so, after church today, I'm just going to take a simple step to walk in obedience and just get a little bit closer into his will, because that's what I want for my life. Because I know I keep seeing all the warnings of what happens. When you walk in disobedience, when you walk outside of his will, things don't go well. And so I want to continue to strive to get more and more deeper into his will for my life. I want his will for my life, not my own. I want to stop striving to force my will upon my desire and my desires upon him, and I just want to submit to him. And so sometimes you just got to ask him and then just trust what you feel, the Holy Spirit welling up inside of you. you are filled with the Holy Spirit. If you have given your life to Jesus, if you said you're my Lord, you're my Savior, and you've committed to him, guess what? And you've invited him in, you've been filled with his Holy Spirit. So guess what that means for you? You can hear his voice. Believe that today. Understand that. You don't need somebody over here to give you a word or somebody over here to give you a word. Like, all that is great. There's gifts in the church. There are spiritual gifts and they are active. But he wants to speak to you. And if you will just be careful today to sit and listen to him, he has something he wants to say to you today. So remember the Lord your God, who led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character. He tests us to prove our character. He humbles us to prove our character. Once again, sometimes we're just like, oh, we're in a fallen world. Bad things just happen. No, sometimes he's just testing you. He's humbling you. Walk in discernment and wisdom to know those moments and to see those moments so you can respond wisely in those moments. Testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. He cares about obedience. Just like a good parent, we care about obedience. We care that our kids will listen to us. We want our kids to trust us and listen to us because we know a better way. Like, I know sometimes if you're a parent in here and you're talking to your 7 or your 8-year-old and you're telling them something and they're like, yeah, yeah, whatever, and they don't believe you. And then as a parent, you kind of laugh when they see the fruit of not listening and you're like, see, I knew it. I told you. Like, that's just it. We want good things for our kids, just like the Father wants good things for us, but it means walking in obedience. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Some of you, you might recognize that. That was what Jesus responded when he was in the wilderness and Satan was tempting him. Right there, Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. For all these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out and your feet didn't blister or swell. That's a miracle right there. He was watching over them. Think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. It's for your good. Stop trying to excuse away what he's trying to teach you. What he's trying to show you, what he wants to reveal to you, ask him and he'll show you. Verse 6, so obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of flowing streams and pools of water with fountains and springs that gush out in the valleys and hills. It is a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees and pomegranates, of olive oil and honey. It is a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. It is a land where iron is as common as stone and copper is as abundant in the hills. When you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Sometimes that discipline we go through, it's to prepare us to be able to handle what's coming. If you don't go through discipline, you can't handle the blessings. If you don't go through correction, you can't handle everything he wants to hand you. If you cannot handle the correction and the discipline and grow and begin to walk more and more in alignment with his obedience, you won't be able to handle the blessing he wants to handle you. Verse 11. That is the time to be careful. When you are stepping into the promised land, that's the time to be careful. That's not the time to check out. That's not the time to say, oh, great, this is good. Like, I can just put it into cruise control. Like, things are going to be great now. This is what's going to happen. He says, this is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty, underline that word, highlight that word, write that down somewhere. If you got a journal, do something. Beware that in your plenty, you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I'm giving you today. This is a word, God's been putting this on me all week for our church, for me, for everyone here in this house. I know last week I said we were done with the pit series, and then all this week he was like, no, you got to talk about prayer in the pit. And so we're going to talk about prayer in the pit today. It's so easy to pray when you're in the pit because you have nowhere else to turn. There's no one else. Everyone's abandoned you. Everyone's left you. Those closest to you, they were the ones that pushed you into the pit. And you are all by yourself in the pit. And so you have nobody else to turn to. There's people in here today. You have nobody else to turn to right now with what you're going through. And you feel like you are all alone, that you're surrounded. And you know your last hope is God. Some of you, that's why you stepped in here today. You came to church because you were just looking for hope because you've been in a pit. You've been in darkness and you just want to get out and you're just asking him, you're pleading with him today, please bring me out of this pit. Will you please lift me up out? We lean into his presence when we're in the pit. But it's when we come into the land of plenty that we are in danger, it says in Deuteronomy, of forgetting him. And believe in everything that we're walking in, the promised land, all the blessings, everything that we're experiencing, everything's just going right in life. We begin to think it's all of our own work. It's all about just who we are. We just deserve this and we earned this and this is just how my life should be 24/7. And we forget who brought us out of the pit because we got into the land of the plenty. Do not forget him in your plenty. He's the same God in the pit and in the plenty. Do not forget him. I believe we're coming into a season of plenty. There's so many. We're coming into the harvest season. Fall is coming. There's a harvest coming. Do not forget him. It's for all of us. As the harvest begins to come in and we begin to see the plenty coming in, everything we've been praying for, everything we've been believing for, everything we were hoping for when we were in our darkest days in the pit, do not forget him and do not stop praising him. Praise his name, whether you're in the pit or whether you're in a plenty season. It doesn't matter. Praise his name, not because of your situation, but because he's worthy. Verse 10, what did it say? When you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. That is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I'm giving you today. For when you have become full and prosperous and you built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold are multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and test you for your own good. Lean not on your own understanding. He fed you. He did all this so you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. Why did he give us power to be successful? To fulfill the covenant that he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. What was the covenant? Genesis 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless you so you'll be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. That's the why. It's not just so we can enjoy the fruit. It's not just so we can get to the promised land and enjoy everything and just sit back and just, I don't know, sip a pina colada in a hammock. Like, that ain't it. No. You've been blessed so you can be a blessing. The church is blessed. God's people are blessed. The church today, you have to remember, we've been adopted into God's family. He didn't just erase all the covenants he made with Israel. No, no, no. We are. We've been adopted into Israel. We're his sons. We're his daughters. And so those same promises and those same covenants, they're still for us today. And so we've been blessed to be a blessing. But some of us, we just keep looking to the world as our provider. And we just keep looking, no, 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 we need something to get handed to us from the world. We need the world to do it for us. The world has the wealth, and the world has this, and we need provision from the world. And God is saying, no, no, I'm the Father, and guess what? You're supposed to be the head and not the tail. You're supposed to be the lender and not the borrower. That's why as a church, we're not going to borrow. We're going to be a lender. We're going to give, but we're not going to borrow. We're going to be a blessing. We're not going to be a curse. We're going to be the head and not the tail. God keeps blessing this house. Why? So we can bless others. So that the world comes to us. So that when there's a famine, the world comes to the church, and the church has the answers. The church has provision because we know the provider. That is good. Thank you, one person back there. That is good. Sorry, maybe I've been too serious this morning. Let's have fun. Like, let's have fun, church. He's good. All right. Don't forget this. Verse 19, but I assure you of this. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, worshiping and bowing down to them, you will certainly be destroyed. Just as the Lord has destroyed other nations in your path, you will also be destroyed if you refuse to obey the Lord your God. Deuteronomy. I could just be in Deuteronomy all day. Deuteronomy 7, verse 12. If you listen to these regulations and faithfully obey them, listening and obedience are directly connected. Some of us, we think we're walking in obedience, but we're just listening. It's like, oh yeah, I heard that. But your actions should follow. That's what obedience is. My kids hear lots of directions I give, but obedience doesn't always follow. And they said, I heard you say that, then show me. If you love me, obey my commandments. That's what Jesus said. That's not works, that's love. That's not works-based. Somebody told us a long time ago, oh, we're not saved by works, we're saved by grace. And that is true. But let me tell you something. We confused that theology, and we just decided we literally should never do anything. And we became the most lazy and gluttonous generation the church has ever seen. I don't actually know that, but I believe that. I do. Somewhere along the way, we just began to abuse God's grace. Because we thought, oh, no, no, that's too much like works. No, no, no. Obedience is love. Obedience is covenantal. We walk in obedience because he's been so good to us, because he's a good father, and we love him, and we trust that if we'll walk in his ways, that he's going to take care of us. He's going to provide for us. He's going to be there with us. It's going to draw us near to him. So if you listen to these regulations and you faithfully obey them, the Lord your God will keep his covenant of unfailing love with you, as he promised with an oath to your ancestors. He will love you and bless you, and he will give you many children. He will give fertility to your land and your animals. When you arrive in the land he swore to give your ancestors, you will have large harvests of grain, new wine, olive oil, and great herds of cattle, sheep, and goats. You will be blessed and above all the nations of the earth. But once again, we keep looking at all the nations of the earth, and we just keep looking up to them. We just keep looking up to the world and saying, oh, they have everything. They have all the wealth. They have everything we need. No. We have the provider. We don't need the spirit of the world. We have the Holy Spirit. And he lives within us. He walks with us. He is teaching us and showing us the ways to go in. And that includes walking into the promises of God. You will be blessed above all the nations of the earth. None of your men or women will be childless, and all your livestock will bear young. And the Lord will protect you from all sickness. He will not let you suffer from the terrible diseases you knew in Egypt, but he will inflict them on all your enemies. He's a good father. He loves us. He's a good teacher. He's a protector. He's a provider. He's a healer. He still wants to provide all that for his children today. He wants to give you fruitfulness. He wants to bring fertility into your home. He wants to heal the sickness and disease. All you need is faith the size of a mustard seed. I know for some of you, you've been in the pit and you've been feeling sickness and disease and infertility attacking your home for a long time. But I want you to take these words today from Deuteronomy 7, and I want you to write them down. Write this passage down. Highlight it. Do whatever you can. And begin to read it every day over your life, over your family's life, and begin to believe that God wants that for you also today. It wasn't just for that time. It was for all time. It was for all his people who step into covenant with him. He wants that for you today. First Samuel 1. There was a man named Elkanah who lived in Ramah in the region of Zuphi in the hill country of Ephraim. He was a son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zoph of Ephraim. Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah, I don't know. You know, ask Google to translate that one for you. I'm going to call her Peninnah, all right? Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. Each year, Elkanah would travel to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of Heaven's armies at the tabernacle. The priests of the Lord at that time were the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. On the days Elkanah presented his sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to Peninnah and each of her children. And though he loved Hannah, he would give her only one choice portion because the Lord had given her no children. So Peninnah would taunt Hannah and make fun of her because the Lord had kept her from having children. Year after year, it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. Each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. "Why are you crying, Hannah?" Elkanah would ask. "Why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons? Verse 9. Once, after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was deep in anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord, and she made this vow. "O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut." As she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her. Seeing her lips moving but hearing no sound, he thought she had been drinking. "Must you come here drunk?" he demanded. "Throw away your wine." "Oh, no, sir," she replied. "I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I'm very discouraged and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I am a wicked woman, for I've been praying out of great anguish and sorrow." In that case, Eli said, "Go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked of him." "Oh, thank you, sir," she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. There's so many things here. This passage is crazy. As she was praying to the Lord, verse 12, Eli watched her. Seeing her lips moving but hearing no sound, he thought she'd been drinking. And he goes over there and rebukes her, this woman who is in anguish and praying and crying out to the Lord in the temple. He goes over there and says, "Must you come here drunk? Throw away your wine." "Oh, no, sir," she replied. "I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I'm very discouraged and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord." There's another time. When people saw people praying and worshiping and praising God, and they thought they were drunk. It was in Acts 2. It's when the Holy Spirit is poured out on his people. It said everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began speaking in tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. If you go down there, verse 12, They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk. That's all. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, it looks like drunkenness to the world. It looks crazy, right? It looks goofy. Like there's moments, maybe you've been around somebody and they're praying in the Spirit and you're like, this is weird because you've never done it before. You don't know anything about it. And you're like, that was my first reaction. I was like, when I first saw somebody praying in the Spirit, I was like, this is weird. And I can see how you might look at that and be like, man, like it looks like they're drunk. They're acting crazy in here. This is wild. Praying in the Spirit looks crazy and like drunkenness to a worldly spirit. But to the Holy Spirit, if you've got the Holy Spirit in you, when you see somebody praying in the Spirit, you know that person's just filled. That person's just celebrating who God is. You just know in your spirit there's something different happening there. Paul said, do not forbid the praying in tongues. Do not forbid praying in the Holy Spirit. This woman, when she was crying out to God, it was in anguish and sorrow. Her lips were moving, but no sound was coming out. Romans 8:26 says this, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. He intercedes for us when we don't have the words, when we don't know what to pray. That's what praying in the Spirit is. It doesn't always make sense. Paul in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, he says a lot about tongues and praying in the Spirit and prophecy. He says, anyone who speaks in tongues should pray also for the ability to interpret what has been said. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I'm saying. But an interpretation is when he gives you the words, you're just praying in your spirit and you're just letting it flow out of you and you don't even really know, nobody really probably knows exactly what you're saying. But when you ask him for an interpretation, the Holy Spirit, he's a good teacher. And what's he do? He'll give you an interpretation. And so this is just a, yeah, I'm going to do it. All right. I got an illustration today. I haven't done an illustration in a while. When you're praying in the Spirit and it just sounds like babbling, it sounds incoherent, and you just, it sounds like drunkenness to the world. It just doesn't make sense. You're kind of like, this is kind of crazy. The first time I started praying in the Spirit, I was out mowing my lawn, and I tell this story a lot. And I just start flowing. Just whatever's inside of me, I just start letting it flow out of me. And it just sounds like gibberish. And I'm just going. And then I'm just asking the Holy Spirit. I'm just telling him, I just want to pray your will. Because that's what it says in your word. When we're praying in the Holy Spirit, it says we're actually praying in the will of God. And so I started asking him, please just give me an interpretation. Teach me, show me what I'm praying. And all of a sudden, he begins to well things up within me. And there were things he started to show me and teach me in that moment. And I realized right away, this is an interpretation of what I'm praying in tongues, what I'm praying in the Holy Spirit right now. And it didn't make sense when I was praying it out loud. It sounded like gibberish. It sounded like when you start to put like just like some stuff together and you're like, all right, I got some honey here. And I got some olive oil. And I got some lemon juice, and you're just kind of like, and you're looking at all that, and you're like, I don't know what all this is. This is praying in the Spirit, okay? It looks like gibberish, and it looks like nonsense. I got some sunflower lectin pure powder. No, nobody knows that one. All right, I got an egg here. All right, what else I got in here? All right, this one will give it away. I got some yeast. All right, you guys know where I'm going with this now. I'm just praying in the Spirit, and I don't quite understand what I'm praying, but all of a sudden he begins to give me an interpretation when I begin to ask, and I begin to realize what it is that I'm talking to him about, and that he's teaching me, and he's giving me revelation on, and all of a sudden it's like everything that didn't make sense before, he begins to bring it together, and when you're praying in the Spirit, he begins to show you what you're praying, and he gives you a revelation, and you see it was a recipe. And he's bringing what you thought was random, he's bringing it together, and he's teaching you. He's teaching you his word. And so if you'll eat of his word, if you'll eat of the bread of life and get it down deep within you, when you're praying in the Spirit, it's going to begin to make sense, because then you're going to start to see all these things that you thought were random and they didn't make sense and they weren't real words, but he begins to give you the interpretation and you begin to see the vision of what he's saying to you. You begin to see what he's teaching you and speaking into your life. And all of a sudden, what you thought was random, it makes sense when it all comes together. Hold on to that. Some of you, you had doubts about your gift or your ability to pray in the Spirit today. Don't doubt it. It's meant to build you up and edify you. Jude 20, what's Jude 20 say? Pray in the Spirit at all times. Ephesians 6:18, pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert, be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Jude 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit is going to build you up. It's going to strengthen you. It's going to fortify you. It's going to look like craziness and nonsense to the world. It's going to look like drunkenness. But it's not for the world, it's for you. It's to build you up, it's to edify you. Don't be discouraged today. If you don't know the right words, I find myself praying in the Spirit often because I don't always know the right words. And I know my will, the things that I want and I desire, that's typically what comes out when I just pray in my own words. But when I begin to pray in the Spirit, and he begins to show me the things and teach me the things that I should be praying for, that's what he's doing. He's showing me his will. That's what he wants to do. He wants to teach us his will, so that when we go to him, when we praise him, when we walk with him, and everything we do, we'll chase after him in obedience to his voice. So this woman, worship team, I'll invite you up as we get ready to close here. This woman who Eli thought was drunk, she prays, and what does she pray? She says, Lord, if you give me a son, he's yours. Can you hold everything that God gives you with an open hand and say, Lord, whatever you give me, it's yours. My family, my children, my relationships, my wealth, my house, whatever it is, can you hold it with an open hand and say, God, whatever you give me, whatever you trust me with in this world, I'm going to hold it with an open hand and say, it's all yours. The entire family, they got up early the next morning and they went to worship the Lord once more. Then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea. And in due time, she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel. For she said, I asked the Lord for him. The next year, Elkanah and his family went on their annual trip to offer a sacrifice to the Lord and keep his vow. But Hannah did not go. She told her husband, wait until the boy is weaned. Then I will take him to the tabernacle and leave him there with the Lord permanently. Whatever you think is best, Elkanah agreed. Stay here for now, and may the Lord help you keep your promise. So she stayed home and nursed the boy until he was weaned. When the child was weaned, Hannah took him to the tabernacle in Shiloh, and they brought along a 3-year-old bull for the sacrifice and a basket of flour and some wine. And after sacrificing the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. Sir, do you remember me? Hannah asked. I'm the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he was granted. And he has granted my request. Now I'm giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life. And they worshiped the Lord there. She stepped into obedience to the promise she had made. She didn't go back on that promise. She didn't go back on that word that day that she had prayed. She stepped into obedience and gave the Lord her firstborn. God gave her five more. I just want to close us in prayer. God, we just thank you. We praise you. I pray if there's anything that we're holding back from you right now, anything that we're holding with a closed grip, that we would just release it today, that we would let it go. That we would just listen to your voice and walk in obedience this morning. That if there's just a simple step you want us to listen to obey, to walk with you, that we would just take that step. Jesus, we just praise you and we thank you. As we worship in this moment, I just pray that we would set our eyes on you. That whether we're in a pit right now or whether we're in a season of plenty, that we would just focus on you and praise you because you're worthy. In your holy name we pray. Amen.